Would you all please rise at this time as we come to offer a prayer? Father Yahweh, we come before you on this afternoon's hour to give glory and praise to your holy name. We came, Father, here to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask, Father, that you would bless your servants, wherever they might find themselves throughout this world, that they might give glory to you and give praise. We know, Father, that the world, they don't know what they're doing. They have lost direction. They don't truly have a relationship with you, Father. And we ask that through this ministry we would touch hearts and cause people to turn to you and to give glory to your holy name. So, Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive the implanted word that you've prepared for us this day. We love you and we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Help us, Father, to do that which is right each and every day, each and every moment of the day. We know that our righteousness is as filthy rags and we're sinners before you. But we're repentant sinners, Father, and the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, covers our sin. So help lift us up, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight each and every day. Again, we thank you for the great sacrifice of Yahshua and his shed blood, that it would cleanse each and every one of us. We thank you again, Father, for bringing us together for this day, the Sabbath day, that we might be refreshed, that we might receive a blessing from on high. So we ask that you bless all those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, and we ask, Father, that you would truly bless your people. In Yahshua's holy name, we come before you asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. Again, this will be the third part of the series, Connected to the Source. Part 3. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 1. So if you turn over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the cattle and over all the earth. So man was given dominion over all the earth from Elohim. Yahweh said, he spoke it into existence. And we know that this is Yahshua that did the creating. From scriptures, in the New Testament, like Colossians and Philippians, and even John. It said, let him have dominion over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female, he created them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So Yahweh gave man dominion. We were created for his praise and his glory. Man was created for Yahweh's praise and his glory. He was created in the image of Yahweh. Turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, we'll start in verse 4. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Yahweh, do I lift up my soul. For you, Yahweh, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all them that call upon you. But that's the first thing that we have to do, brethren. We have to call upon Yahweh when we recognize that we need help, that we are the ones that have sinned, that have fallen from Him, that have disconnected ourselves from the source. We have to call on Him to repair that connection. Give ear, O Yahweh, to my prayer. Listen to the voice of my supplication. We want Yahweh to hear our prayers, brethren. But He doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. He hears the prayers of repentant sinners, those who have changed their life, those that are reconnected to the source through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. In the day of trouble, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. So we have confidence that Yahweh is going to answer us in His time. It's not in our time. That's the problem with people. We believe that we are, you know, since we were created to have dominion over the earth, we still believe that we are, you know, number one. But we were created for the praise of Yahweh and for His glory. And everything we do should be for His honor. But that's not how we think. And the reason we don't think that way is because we've been lied to. You know, Satan has come to us just like he did to Eve, and he wants us to understand that if we do this, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to keep the commandments. You don't have to do the things that he tells you in his word, see? Because he told Yahshua, when he tempted Yahshua, about turning stones into bread. It's not about bread. It's not about what we put in our bodies. It's not about this life or this existence. See, it's about Yahweh. And that's where people get off. They miss it. It's about Yahweh. It's not about us. It's about Yahweh. See, our connection has to be to Yahweh. And then we understand that there's a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose. He created us for a purpose. And that's what we have to find out, what that purpose is, and be reconnected to the source. Continuing on, it says, there is none like you among the Elohim, O Yahweh. Neither are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Yahweh. All nations. Has that happened? No. It has never happened yet, but it will. See? This is going to happen. And they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You are Elohim alone. Teach me your way, O Yahweh. I will walk in your truth. People out there believe that what they believe is truth, okay, even though it's in error. They can't line it up with the scriptures. I was speaking to a man, I guess it was last weekend, and he's a Christian. And he's telling me, of course, you know, that Sunday is the day that, you know, men ought to worship. And I said, well, the Sabbath is in the scriptures. That's a commandment. That's one of the Ten Commandments. He knew that, okay? But what day is the Sabbath? Oh, it's changed. It doesn't say that in here. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that the Sabbath has changed. It's still the day of worship for Yahweh's people. It's the day of rest for Yahweh's people. See, we have to align ourselves with His Word, not try to conform Him to us. And that's what happens with too many people. They're trying to fit Yahweh into their life when we should be fitting our lives into His. See? Because Yahshua, when He died for us. Okay? And unless we align ourselves with Him, His blood is not covering us. See? We have to be aligned with Him and accept that sacrifice. It says, teach me your way in verse 11. O Yahweh, I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And that's another biggie. They just can't get that there is a name above all names, that Yahweh is the name of the Father. They feel they can call him anything they want. But you can't read in the scriptures where it says you can call him anything you want. See? The scriptures are very specific when it talks about the truth and his name. In verse 12, I will praise you, O Yahweh, my Elohim, with my whole heart. Not with part of it, with my whole heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. So we have to have the right name to do that. Am I correct? We can't glorify his name calling on Jehovah. We can't glorify his name calling on Buddha or someone else. See? We have to call on the name of Yahweh, because Yahweh is the true mighty one. We have to give him the praise, because we were created for his praise and his glory. Turn to Psalm 102. The sooner we get this and understand this, the better we'll be. The sooner our kids understand this, the better they'll be. So that's one thing about little children. Babies are very, very selfish, you know, because they want what they want when they want it. But, you know, those are these, that's how they created the urges, you know. But we have to teach them, just like Yahweh is teaching us, to be patient, to wait on him. As Psalm 102, starting verse 15. Verse 12 says, but you, O Yahweh, will remain forever, and your memorial name to all generations. So it's telling us that name, there's a name, a specific name, that goes to all generations. But verse 15, it says, so the nations shall fear the name of Yahweh. Remember, it said earlier that all nations would come and worship before Yahweh. All nations. Now it's saying here, so the nations shall fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth your glory. Yahweh's glory, not their own. Each king has glory. You know how kings are. They you know, pomp and circumstance, they have their position. Okay? But see, it's Yahweh's glory that is what we're seeking, what we're trying to do. We want to give that to him. For Yahweh has built up Zion. He has appeared in his glory. He has regarded the prayer of the destitute and has not despised their prayer. No, he hears the prayers of those who are sincere. This shall be written for the generation to come, and a people which shall be created shall praise Yah. They're created for the praise of Yahweh, brethren, even though they don't recognize. That's why we're here. We have to share that with the people of this world. Their purpose is to praise Yahweh. It's not to do their own thing. See? Because too many people believe that, you know, they're here for themselves and for their own glory and for the things that they want. Our desires have to be aligned with Yahweh and his desires. Because he told us he would give us the desires of our heart. But what is it saying, James or Jacob? You know, I'm going to turn over there real quick. In Jacob 4. From where come wars, and from where come fightings among you? Come they not from here, even from your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yahweh. So the people who are seeking their own things, the things that they would like in this world, are asking amiss. They're not seeking the things to edify, to praise Yahweh. And this is what we have to understand. Yahweh created us for his praise, his glory, his honor, just like our children, okay? We want them to do the things that would make parents proud of them. And this is why, you know, we do our best when we're raising our kids. We want to teach them the love of Yahweh. We want to teach them this path because we know that the end of the path is the kingdom and they can have life everlasting. We don't want them to go off the path. Yet, you do what you can. It says in verse 19, "For he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did Yahweh behold the earth, to hear the sighing of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death." He's willing to give them a stay of execution. "That men may declare the name of Yahweh in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the peoples have gathered together and the kingdoms to serve Yahweh." And that's our purpose. Our purpose is not to serve ourselves. Yet, this is what the world and Satan tells us. Oh, you have a good time. You go out and party. You know, like it's 1999. Remember that one. Because they didn't know what was happening in 2000. They thought the end of the world was coming. See? And Prince, I think when he wrote that song, I don't remember the year, but it was well before 1999 that he wrote his song. See? But we're to be connected to the source, and that source is Yahweh, because Yahweh rules over all things for his glory. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, brethren. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 3. "Blessed be the angel and father of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in the Messiah." Now I'm going to read that a second time because I want to emphasize this so that we understand what Paul is trying to say to the Ephesians as well as us. Today, he said, "Blessed be the El and Father of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah." So he's talking about Yahweh, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in the Messiah. Now let's think about that. He's given us every spiritual blessing. And then people say, well, man, why am I struggling here on earth? Why, if I have all these spiritual blessings, am I going through the changes trying to make my rent? Why am I having these troubles with my car? Why am I having these troubles with my furnace in my house or this problem or that problem? We go through these changes, brethren, so that Yahweh can develop our character, so that he can see that we're going to depend on him. See? There's a purpose for the changes that we have to go through. Verse 4 says, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love." Yahweh's people are to be a holy people. And he tells us how to do that, how to be a holy people. "Having foreordained us to adoption as sons through Yahshua the Messiah to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us, in the beloved, in Yahshua, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses." And brethren, don't we thank him for that? Because it's through his blood, the forgiveness of all of our sins. See, problem, most of us have these, Satan has got to us and has us thinking that, you know what? He hasn't forgiven your sin. Those sins that you've committed, they're still there. You know, they're still there. And you think about it. When people keep running into the same problems, it's because they truly haven't forgiven themselves. They haven't accepted the forgiveness that Yahweh has given them. Yahshua died for our sins, brethren. He died, okay? If he didn't die, our sins would not be forgiven. He was a righteous man. He died for our sins, each and every one of us. We can't do it for ourselves. We have to accept that salvation. We have to accept that shed blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed him. That was his purpose for us. To a dispensation of the fullness of the times to sum up all things in the Messiah, the things in the heavens and the things upon earth. In him, I say, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. Not our will, his will. We're doing this to the praise of his glory. See, the praise of his glory. The things in heaven and the things upon earth, in him, I say, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. And this is Yahshua the Messiah. To the end that we should be to the praise of his glory. We who had before hoped in the Messiah, in whom you also, having heard the word of truth, and that's being preached. Okay? That word of truth is being preached. Now, whether the people accept it or not, that's up to them. But if they truly want to accept that shed blood, they have to accept that word of truth. The good tidings of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, each one of us that has received that baptism have received that down payment of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important for those that have not been baptized to receive that baptism, which is an earnest of our inheritance. It's a down payment. When you buy that house, you put that earnest deposit down. You put that down payment so that you can get that house. Okay? Yahweh has given us the deposit, that earnest of the Holy Spirit at baptism. So that we, that earnest of our inheritance, that's just the beginning, see, to the redemption of Yahweh's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So that's what we were created for, the praise of his glory, not for our own selves, for his glory, see. But let's go back to the first sacrifice. Yahshua is the ultimate sacrifice, but let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, where it all began. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 9. And Yahweh Elohim called unto the man and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? See, that's the disconnect. When we violate the covenant, when we won't listen to Yahweh, we listen to the evil one, Satan the devil, the deceiver. And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. So he throws it on Eve. He threw her under the bus right away. See? He put it on her. He didn't take responsibility. See? And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the servant beguiled me. He tricked me. He fooled me. And I did eat. He lied to me. But you know what? That's what the deceiver does. He's the deceiver of the whole world. That's his thing. He lies for a living. That's what he does. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain. Greatly multiply your pain and your conception. In pain shall you bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And unto Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread. See? It was going to be easy before. I mean, there was some work involved, even picking the fruit from the tree. But now the bread is going to be harder to come by. You're going to have to work hard for it. Till you return unto the ground. For out of it were you taken, for dust you were, are, and unto dust shall you return. And the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And Yahweh Elohim made for Adam and for his wife coats of skin and clothed them. That was the first sacrifice. Those animals were sacrificed so that their skins would cover them, because now they knew that they were naked. Okay? And that made them ashamed. Whereas before they ate of the tree, they were not ashamed. Because, see, Yahweh only wanted us to know the good. He didn't want us to know the evil. Satan wanted us to know the evil. And he still wants us to do this on a daily basis. He wants to constantly pull you down to the negative. And that's why we have to stay on the positive, brethren. Okay? What can we do for Yahweh? It's nothing we can do, brethren, but be obedient. Not one thing can we do for Yahweh. You think about it. What can we give him for our life? Even if you were wealthy and you gave him all that you had, would that be enough? No. It's nothing we can do except be obedient and give him the praise and honor and glory that we were created for. That's our purpose. See? We need to cease from sin and show, because Yahweh has given us him to worship, and he's given us redemption. Whoever controls our hearts controls our life. So this is why we have the commandments. We want Yahweh in control of our life. We want Yahweh to control our hearts so that we would constantly be connected to the source. Because if we're not totally devoted to him, we're going to be disconnected, because Satan's going to have some room in there. And if he has room and control your heart in any way, then you're disconnected from Yahweh. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11, we'll start in verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And his delight shall be in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of the eye, neither decide after the hearing of the ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he kill the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. We know that this is speaking of Yahshua the Messiah. Jesse was the father of David, but this is a spiritual David who is to rule the earth, all nations. In verse 6 it says, and the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. And it shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse, that stands for a sign, an ensign of the peoples, to him shall the nations seek, and his resting place shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day, that in that day is a time stamp. I did a message over in Africa entitled In That Day, which I didn't record. I guess I'm going to have to do that again for the brethren here in the United States. But in that day is a specific time period. It's talking about the kingdom of Yahweh. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros and from Cush and from Elam, and from Shinar, which is the old name for Babylon, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, a sign for the nations, and will assemble the outcast of Israel, and shall gather together the dispersed of Judah, and from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and they that vex Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines on the west. Together shall they despoil the children of the east. East, they shall put forth their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And Yahweh will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his scorching wind will he wave his hand over the river, and will strike it in the seven streams and cause them to march over dry shod. And we know that this is coming to pass. That's going to become dry land. And the Chinese armies are going to walk through that river over the dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, and that shall remain from Assyria, like as there was for Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt. So this is something special that's going to happen to Yahweh's people following Yahshua the Messiah. See? Does Yahshua control your heart? That's the question I have for you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 13. Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. Now, I have a question to ask you, brethren. Has your life changed since you came into the knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah? Are you different than the people around you? It says, set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. That's something special. As in verse 14, children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust and your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all manner of living, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of the Messiah, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of the times for your sake, who through him are believers in Yahweh, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. It says, so that your faith and your hope might be in Elohim. When we are connected to the source, our faith and hope is only in Yahweh because of Yahshua the Messiah. Think about it. Our faith, our hope, keeps us connected to the source. It's our faith and our hope that keeps us and helps us to please Yahweh. See, because remember I said it's nothing you can do. And I've taken hope and broke it down into an acronym as he only pleases Elohim. And that's what Yahshua did. He only pleased Yahweh. He wasn't concerned with man. Because, I mean, he was concerned about saving him, but what I'm saying is the things of men, he wasn't taken with the temptation as man is taken, see? He only pleased Yahweh, and that's what that hope is about. We have to please and praise Yahweh. That's our purpose, to follow in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. Continuing on in verse 22, it says, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, to the unfeigned, unpretended love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of Yahweh, which lives and endures. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of it as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of Yahweh endures forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached to you. And that's what Peter is telling the people. This is the word that was preached to you. And that word was designed to connect you to Yahweh, connect you to the source, because the people had been disconnected. They were going through the rituals of worshiping Yahweh. They were going through the temple, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders, had them going through the motions, but were they getting closer to Yahweh? No. See, because through the blood of the bulls and the goats, it wasn't making, it just become repetition. All they were doing is killing animals. They weren't getting any closer. Those animals' lives were being sacrificed for people who were not repentant. Even though they offered the offering, they did what was required, but it wasn't in here. It wasn't in their heart. They were not connected to Yahweh. Yahshua came to reconnect them because they had become disconnected to the source. And we need to be connected to the source. Turn with me to John chapter 13. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we spent a lot of time in the book of John. And there was a good reason for that. And we also read John 13 for the Passover memorial. But I want to go into this with the understanding to get us closer, not only to Yahshua, but to his father, Yahweh. It says in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, Yahshua, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being set out, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, he'd already gotten to Simon. See? So we see the scene being portrayed before us. Yahshua, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he came forth from Yahweh and goes to Yahweh, rises from supper and lays aside his garments. And he took a towel and girded himself, and he pours water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. What Yahshua did here was perform an act of service. He came to serve, to give his life. But he was showing them an example. Okay? So he got on his knees, girded himself, and washed the disciples' feet. And he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he comes to Simon Peter. And remember, we just came from the book 1 Peter, see, where Peter told us to set our hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. Peter got it. It took him a while, but Peter got it. And we have to do the same, brethren. He says to him, Rabbi, do you wash my feet? Yahshua answered and said to him, What I do, you do not know now, but you shall understand after this. And that's why I said, Peter got it. He did understand. Peter says to him, you shall never wash my feet. Yahshua answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You can't be a part of what I'm doing if I can't wash your feet. Simon Peter says to him, Rabbi, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Yahshua says to him, he that is bathed needs not save to wash his feet, but is wholly clean. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew him that should betray him. Therefore he says, you are not all clean. Because he knew Simon, Satan had already entered into Simon's heart. So when he had washed his feet and taken his garments, he sat down, and again he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and rabbi, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, the rabbi and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, as a servant is not greater than his master. Neither one that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eats my bread lifted up his heel against me. It's back to eating bread.
See, Yahshua fed the multitudes with bread. He fed them. Were they there to hear his words or were they there to eat the bread? Think about it. They were there because of the bread, the worldly bread, not the spiritual bread from heaven, Yahshua the Messiah. They were there because they wanted to eat, not because they wanted to be reconnected to the source, to Yahweh, the Father. See? And that's what happens too often in life. As long as that bread is flowing, the food is there, you're going to have numbers. You're going to have the people following. Oh, yes, we want that bread. You know, they're going to say hallelujah, jump up and down. But are they truly connected to the source? No, they're not. Satan has got in there, just like he got into Judas Iscariot. He that eats my bread lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I tell you, because it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. He wanted them to know that he was the Messiah. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that receives whomever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives them that sent me, which is Yahweh. He's trying to get us reconnected to the source, brethren. Yahshua knows what he's doing. See? And what he did was very difficult. And people say, well, no, he was the Almighty. It wasn't difficult for him. When he was here on this planet, he was pure human. Okay? He left his high estate and came down. It tells us that in Philippians. You understand? He was just like you and me. It's just that he overcame. He was not tempted. I mean, he was tempted by Satan. He just didn't give in to the temptation. Verse 21, when Yahshua had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you shall betray me. The disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. There was at the table reclining in Yahshua's bosom one of his disciples whom Yahshua loved. Simon Peter therefore beckons to him and says to him, tell us of who it is of whom he speaks. He leaning back as he was on Yahshua's breast and says to him, Rabbi, who is it? Yahshua therefore answered, he it is for whom I shall dip the sop and give it to him. So when he had dipped the sop, he takes and gives it to Judah, the son of Simon. And after the sop, then Satan entered into him. Yahshua therefore says to him, what you do, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke this to him. For some thought, because Judah had the bag, the money, that Yahshua said to him, buy what things we have need of for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out straightway, and it was night. Now, that sop, when he dipped it, okay, what was the sop? What was the sop? He dipped it. This is the bread I'm giving you, see? This is the food I'm giving you. See, Simon Iscariot was concerned about the food of this world, this life. He was not concerned about the future. He wasn't concerned about being reconnected to Yahweh, the source. Satan had already got to him and had already corrupted him. You know what? The good thing about this is, if you read further, what happened? Simon repented of the evil. He tried to give back the 30 pieces of silver that the leaders of Israel had paid him to betray Yahshua the Messiah. And we think, how often do we betray Yahshua the Messiah? You know, when we accept those little words that Satan throws at us. We have to constantly think about these things that are going on in our lives, the challenges and the changes that we go through, not only with our spouses, our wives, our husbands, our children, our other family members, our people on our jobs, the people that we work with. You know, every relationship can be a challenge. But Yahshua wanted us to seek that true bread, that bread of heaven, that was going to reconnect us to Almighty Yahweh. In verse 31, it says, when therefore he had gone out, Yahshua says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and Yahweh is glorified in him. And Yahweh said, shall glorify him in himself, and straightway shall he glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And I said, and as I said to the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one to another. And if we have that love one to another, brethren, we will be reconnected to the source. We will be connected to Yahweh. Simon Peter says to him, Rabbi, where are you going? Yahshua answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow afterwards. Peter says to him, Teacher, why cannot I follow you even now? I will lay down my life for you. Yahshua answers, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me three times. And we know the rest of that story. Sure enough, he did. Yes, he did. Satan's tempting message carries four subtle lies. Four subtle lies. But accepting them leads to death. Okay? Each lie is meant to move us away from the very thing for which we were created, a life of love and submission to Yahweh, the source of this life. See, each of those lies are designed to disconnect us, just like he did Adam and Eve. He disconnected them from the source. The first lie is physical things are permanent. That's the first lie that Satan tells. Physical things are permanent. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Start in verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And verse 17 is the key. And the world passes away, and the lust of it, but he that does the will of Yahweh remains forever. He's going to inherit eternal life. See? But not those that believe that the physical things are permanent. Remember, the real world is spirit. All this is molecules slowed down. Right? That's all this physical world is. If he speeds it up, disappears. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16-18. It says, therefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day, because that's the spiritual man. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They're temporal of this world. But the things which are not seen are eternal. They're spirit. See? Earlier in the chapter, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it says, well, starting in verse 3, it says, and even if our message of good tidings is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the mighty one of this world, we talk about Satan the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good tidings of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should not dawn upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but the Messiah Yahshua as sovereign, and ourselves as servants for Yahshua's sake. Seeing it is Elohim that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahshua the Messiah. So, physical things are not permanent, brethren, even though Satan is trying to lie to the people and tell them that, you know, physical things are permanent. And the second lie is physical bread is the only bread. Sinners worship the creation rather than the Creator. They forsake Yahweh to seek material possessions. This is why we are encouraged not to store up treasures on earth, but to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be sound, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. And this is the reason that Satan comes through to disconnect. He wants us to follow and serve him. He wants us to seek the physical bread of this life, the wealth of this world. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the birds of the heaven, they sow not, neither do they reap. You think about it. If you just take time to sit on a nice, beautiful day outside and look at the creation and see the birds, see the squirrels, see all of the animals running around, gathering, getting the things they have need of. We have at our house a little, it's a hot tub, and on top of the hot tub, I guess it's a brick or something to hold at the top down for the weather, but it has an indentation there. And in that indentation, where the rain comes down, it's full of water. It's like a little pool, okay? And the birds will come. We're sitting there in the kitchen or at the sink, and you can see the birds. It's the bird bath. They come in there, and they wash themselves, and they drink the water, and they just go on about their business. And it's like a rest stop because, I mean, they come. They keep coming, and they just keep coming, you know. But Yahweh provides that for them. He gives them everything they need as he does us. It's just that we, because we were created in his image and have dominion over everything, we think we run things. Okay? But we have to understand that Yahweh runs things and that we have to be connected to him
to have this glory of him. It says in verse 26, behold, the birds of heaven, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Yes, he does. Are not you much more valued than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to the measure of his life? None of us. And why are you anxious concerning raiment, clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if Elohim does so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Where's our bread? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first his kingdom. And that's what we have to do, brethren. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. We got to seek that as well. And all these things shall be added to you. Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil of it. And I'm telling you, that's true. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. It says, if then you were raised together with the Messiah, seek the things that are above, where the Messiah is seated on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. See? It's not the physical bread. It's the spiritual bread which comes down from heaven, Yahshua the Messiah. For you died. And your life is hid with Messiah in Yahweh. When the Messiah, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. So, it's not about the physical bread, brethren. It's about the spiritual bread, the bread from heaven, Yahshua the Messiah. The third lie, human success is defined by the amount of physical bread you possess. And we know that's a lie. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we'll start in verse 21. From that time began Yahshua to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Master, this shall never be to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get you behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you mind not the things of Yahweh, but the things of men, things of this earth. Then said Yahshua to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his burden and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man came in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render to every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of you that stand here who shall certainly not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And he was talking about the transfiguration coming. But the key here is
What shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Our lives are in Yahshua the Messiah. They're tied to Yahshua. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke 12, 15. And he said to them, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. See, so human success is defined by the amount of physical bread you possess. That's that third lie that Satan tells us. But see, in Luke 12, 15, it tells us that we're to keep ourselves from covetousness. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It's what's in his heart. It's what's in his spiritual bank account. It's what he has done in showing love to his brethren, one to another. And the fourth lie Satan tells us, life is found in physical bread. This is the lie of lies, like the one he told Eve, dying you shall not die, that somehow life can be found outside of the relationship with Yahweh, the source. This was the lie told by the deceiver in the garden, and it is told countless times every day. Feeding on physical bread only leads to more hunger. It is only the bread of life, Yahshua, that satisfies. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 47, John 6:47, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yes, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Yahshua showed that lie about life is found in physical bread is just that, a lie. You have to accept Yahshua the Messiah, the spiritual bread of heaven. In verse 52, no, drop down to verse 66. Well, no, I'm sorry. I tell you what. No, let's continue. Continue. In verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled one with another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Yahshua therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true meat indeed, and my blood is true drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eats me, he also shall live because of me. He shall live because of me. Satan doesn't want you to understand this. He doesn't want you to follow Yahshua the Messiah. He doesn't want you connected to the source, Almighty Yahweh. He wants you disconnected. He said, this is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died. He that eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Okay?
In verse 60, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" But Yahshua, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble?" What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, brethren. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Yahshua was reconnecting his disciples to the source. But you see what happened? But there are some of you in verse 64 and some of you out there today that believe not. For Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who it was that should betray him. And he said, "For this cause have I said to you that no man can come to me unless it is given to him of the Father." Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't handle it. They were truly disconnected from the Father. But they were not his from the beginning. They were imposters. Yahshua said, therefore, to the 12, "Would you also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Teacher, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the true bread of heaven. You are connected to the source, to Yahweh. And we have believed and know that you are the Holy of Yahweh." Yahshua answered them, "Did not I choose you, the 12, and one of you is the devil?" Now he spoke of Judah, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Brethren, are we connected to the source, to Almighty Yahweh? Do we recognize Satan the devil when he presents himself to us and his lies, the four lies that he tries to get us to buy into? Because I'm telling you, the people who were following Yahshua, the multitudes, were there for the physical bread. There were some that heard. There were some that were converted to the truth. The majority of the people were there to be fed physically. They were not there to be fed spiritually. They were not there to be connected to Yahweh. See? But that's why we're here. We're here to be connected to the true source, to Almighty Yahweh, through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. I hope that Almighty Yahweh has been able to touch your hearts today. And those of you that are listening that have not received that gift, that down payment of Yahweh's Holy Spirit, I hope you make your calling and election sure and get baptized as soon as you can so that you would receive that down payment. So when Yahshua returns, you can be called up to meet him with that high calling when he comes back to call his people, the first fruits, the 144,000, to meet him in the air. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him and give him glory. If you don't rise at this time, I'll give a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace again. We thank and praise your holy name, your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high, the true bread of heaven, for feeding us, Father, with the spiritual manna, Yahshua the Messiah, and not just the physical. Satan tries to deceive your people, Father, but you've given us the truth. So help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil as we seek to be reconnected to you in every way, shape, and form. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed. And we know that those sins are cleansed by the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. And we do accept Yahshua, Father. So thank you for sending your Son to save each and every one of us. Again, Father, as we go to our homes today, we ask that you continue to bless your servants, to be with us, to watch over us, and help us to be an example to those around us. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and in his holy name, we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. For our closing song, he'll take your songbooks in hand.